Blog Talk Radio.
Praise ye the Lord. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. For the Lord is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of praise. And we all know, and on this glorious, victorious day, another day that the Lord has made, April the 23rd of 2023, he is worthy of all glory. Glorious Excelsior, Lord, we exalt your name the more. Glorious Excelsior, we give you praise, we adore. Oh, glorious Excelsior, Lord, we worship you, we honor you more and more. You've tuned into the pilgrim's journey, oh my Lord. What a glorious and victorious journey it is, traveling the King's highway. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, has paved that way of excellence. For we were born destined for greatness and designed for excellence. And we travel this road to experience the wonder, the wonders, the magnificence, the miracles of the Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth, created every living creature, both great and small, who spoke every living thing into existence. And we experience the beauty of his magnificence, of his omnipotence, of his omniscience, and of his omnipresence. What a wonderful day it is, another day that the Lord has made, that we should all rejoice and be glad in it. No, even be glad, be exceedingly glad in it. Because at such time, at such hour, at such season, God is turning your negative circumstances into positive experiences. No longer are you a victim, you are a victor. No longer are you defeated. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. And just praise God for his magnificence, of his glory, of his honor, of his presence. We should do this perpetually, not just on one day of the week. No. Servitude as a believer is each and every day of the week. At every given hour, we should give praise unto the Lord our God. Because the more that the praises go up, the more that the miracles manifest on the interplanetary domain. Oh, what a wonderful experience it is. And I'm just giving thanks unto God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, for giving us the victory over the oppressor, for causing the enemy to be stopped underneath our feet, for defeating our oppressors and handing them over to us. Oh, I'm just so filled with his joy today. I don't know about you, but I hope that this joy unspeakable that's full of glory will infiltrate you and your existence and your life, that you will feel what I feel. You know, I'm so reminded of Moses when he was leading the children of Israel through the land of bondage, through Egypt, and how God constantly kept in confidence his word, that it would not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And oh, he would remind Moses and told him to stand still and know that I am God. Is it who sent you? Look out. I am that I am sent you. It doesn't get any higher, any more excellent than that. And then Moses began to get a little weak again. Oh, God had to really come forward and minister to him. And he told him to stand still. Don't go back. Don't become stagnant. He said, stand still. Still stand and see the salvation of the Lord. He's telling you. He's telling me. He's telling everyone who has stood on his promises. His word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. He's telling us now, in such a time as this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is a powerful, life-changing message that's going to very much so take you to the next level in your life. In your earthly life, you need this word. You need to call a friend, a family member, a co-worker, maybe someone you haven't spoken to in a long time. You need to call and connect with them and let them know they need to tune in. This is the hour of the manifestation of the promises of God being made. Present and prevalent in such a time as this. God has defeated our oppressors. He has given us the victory. There are but dust under our feet and another notch in our belt and another testimony to the Most High God. Don't you know that God gets awakened and he becomes angry? Oh, some of you don't want to hear this, but you need to hear this. He said, touch not my anointed. You don't have to physically touch us. You can speak evil of us, plot evil against us, go to your secret corners. But the face of the Most High is already there. He said, and do my prophet, my messenger, my representative. See, a prophet is a messenger, a representative for such a time as this. He said, do my prophet no harm. So he said, it would be better to take a millstone. You know, that's an anchor. That's an extremely heavy weight. And put it around your neck. And then cast yourself into the sea or to an immense body of water. And just suffer your fate right then and there than just to offend one of his children. So when you offend us, we tell him he knows all about it, and his eye is on those who oppress the innocent. For those that be of a good report, God gets angry. And it's a terrible thing. I don't care whether you believe or not. You don't have to believe, but if you tamper with God's children on any level, warning, 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 the signal is out. God's hand will slap down every aspect of your life. And the most fearful thing, even to the unbeliever, or to the evildoer, is that you don't know how it's going to come. It's going to come full circle. You don't know whether it's going to be health in your body, your finances, your family, your self-proclaimed securities. It's coming. How do you get out of the way of the wrath? Do right. Tell God you're sorry. You stepped over the boundary. You made a bad decision, and you're willing to overturn it so that none be impacted. And tell him that you're sorry. And through the name of Jesus Christ, you are redeemed from the wrath and received unto the blessing. Whether you've given your life to God or not, he owns your life anyway because he spoke you too, backslider. He spoke you too, hypocrite. He spoke you too, unbeliever, into existence. Why? To give you a chance to experience life on the physical plane. and to be a testimony of his redemption. So it's not too late to do it and do it right and do it publicly. That's why, and the scripture tells us, even when we do our deeds, even though we do them publicly, but we do it for the right reason, but if we do it in secret, all he that seeth us will reward us openly. And you will attain and retain your honor. You will attain and retain your image. And God will bless you in all that you do. Well, you see, God is not a respecter of persons. Why do we think because we have certain postures, certain availability, that we are exempt from God's wrath? You're not. You're right in the line of direct fire, my brother, my sister. And this is a powerful word of knowledge. I know some of you are saying, where is she going? Where is teacher going with this? Teacher is going in the way the Holy Spirit is leading her. You see, I can't lead the Holy Spirit to tell me what to say. The Holy Spirit has to guide me on what must be said and the manner in which it's spoken. This is the pilgrim's journey. Don't interfere with the journey. Because when you do things, I don't know who this word is for, to interfere with the journey of believers who are doing the work of God, no matter what area of profession, in public education, in community service, or in other areas of human services, that they are touching the lives of people, you better leave them alone. Because the hand of God will stand against you. And it will summon evil into your life. People sit up back and talk about, oh, I'm afraid of people, somebody cursing me, putting witchcraft on me. No! The only person that can allow a curse to come upon you is the Almighty God. He is the master of the universe. He is the only one that can give the power, the unction for these things to happen. You don't want any of that. Look what happened to Egypt. It's a million wonders that that country is still on the map. They got cursed because they tampered with God's children. So this is such a word of warning for such a time as this to get it right. Reverse, repent, revive, revitalize, refresh, renew, redo. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his divine power, his immense power, his majestic power will come in and bless you. Oh, thank you, God, for this powerful word of knowledge, God, that will build up the fortress and give us the foundation piece that we need to promote the kingdom of God on this pilgrim's journey. You see, where God places you, you stay. You remain so that you can bring forth fruit and that your righteousness through God and Jesus Christ will expand and expound like the green cedars of Lebanon. And have you ever taken time to just look at a thermogenic image of the cedars of Lebanon? It is immense and intense. The tree is large, but the sprawl, the branches, the leaves are so awesome, it would definitely hold you in awe. What a mighty God we serve. We thank God for you today, and we're expecting great and wonderful miracles to take place at this moment and continually. For those of you that are going through something in your body, whether it's physical affliction, whether it's tiredness, and just the point of this no energy. Oh, they that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. What? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a blessed assurance. What a blessed promise. And all remember this, that he was wounded, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who we bow to in reverence. He was wounded for our transgressions. bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon his shoulders, by through whom stripes, his stripes, we were healed. So in the name of Jesus, beest thou made whole at this very hour. Because he already did it. He said it. He did it. And that settles it. Account paid in full. Thank you, Father God. Those of you who are waiting on financial breakthroughs, he said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Give to the necessity of the needy. Give to them who are standing in need. He said, give and it shall be given unto you again in good measure. Pressed down, that means contained. Shake it together, that means comprised. And running over, fullness of abundance and prosperity. We speak it in the name of Jesus. And running over shall men give into your bosom. That means the divine favor of God follows you. Look at Joseph. We want to say before we get into the word. Look at Joseph. Joseph was so envied by his brothers. Benjamin was closest to Joseph because Benjamin was the very youngest. But he was so envied because you know what? Joseph had a dream. He had a vision. See, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he had a vision. He dreamt. And his vision became alive, that he was the tallest reed in the field, and the others were smaller, and the others sought to remove him. And what happened? Joseph was sabotaged by his own family. And remember, Jesus said this unto us. He said, come a time that a man's enemy be that of his own household. Well, see, the same thing is happening here on the planetary domain of earth. That religious proselytes and self-proclaimed righteous leaders are teaming up against the truly called, anointed, and appointed messengers and attempting to divert the power of the message. But they don't know. They're not messing with the person. They're messing with the power and whom the person is plugged into. And God is shutting them down for the record. You need to see what's going on. Watch as well as pray. You'll see all this. I'm seeing it. And I'm sharing it with you. But nevertheless, Joseph, he was sold off to the Egyptians. They didn't cast him in the pit. Brothers didn't care. They knew that he was a threat to their agenda and that God had a calling in Joseph's life. What happened? God told us, hold your peace. He said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Joseph was received by the Egyptians. And none was higher in the land but the Pharaoh. You see, God will take an enemy circumstance and change it into your favor. The very person that attempted to confront you and aggress against you, God will make them domicile. And you will be the commander in charge. And the very people that were in his family casted him asunder. But what happened? God allowed him divine favor. See, divine favor, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me and follow you all the days of our life, and we shall dwell or do well in the house of the Lord, because we're his testimony. I'm not going to let anybody silence his testimony. Oh, never will, never shall, never can be. Joseph became a great mighty man. And when the famine hit in Israel, the very people that oppressed him, the very people, his own family, had to come to him for substance. And they, of course, were ashamed because God took him and put him in a leadership position in a land that had no rightfulness of referendum toward Israel. But see, divine favor follows you, overshadows you. And I'm speaking a word of knowledge to someone who's listening out here in radio land. Divine favor follows you. There's nothing that anybody can do against you. Everyone who will try is going to fail. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God is going to bless you right on enemy territory. Oh, my God. Only God can do that. Come aboard, come aboard, come aboard. Amen on this glorious and victorious pilgrim's journey. Let's go back into the book of Genesis. Some of you are just so excited about this book of Genesis because I know I am. It talks about the very origins of mankind's physical existence upon the earth and how God set everything to be in universal and in divine order. And God, we're asking that you bless the power of this word. Let it become alive. Let it become dunamis in our life. Let it become the rhema that nurtures us, that carries us, that anoints us the more for your purpose, for your honor and your glory. And thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, we speak amen. So be it. It's done. Fourth chapter, the book of Genesis, the book of origins, the beginning. We've had such a great experience reviving and reliving the very creations of everything upon the earth. All living creatures, both great and small, all aquatic life, all average life, or airborne life, we call it birds, but they are also called avarices. We've experienced the greatness of God, the herbivorous production of vegetation, all of the wonderful things that God gave mankind, the authoritative leadership over. Mankind was created to be custodians in the earth. And God, at his finest hour, created mankind. Man first, and then the woman, the womb of the man, was taken from his rib. Now here we see where they defied the very essence of God's commandments. Well, see, the man defied first because he knew God charged him. See, when I say I give you a charge, you are responsible. You're held accountable. The woman was told, but the man was charged. That's why the man receives the greater chastisement. And here we're going to see part of that chastisement right here in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. And here it goes. And Adam knew Eve. Wait. After God was so angry with them. And in conclusionary measure, we need to go back to the third chapter of Genesis so you get a better picture. Well, God discovered disobedience from man. And the woman got tricked, but the man chose to disobey. And God was angry. That's the reason why mankind had to wear clothing, because he became aware of his nakedness, of his nudity. God knew it already. And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living things. That's right. So there's no Lilith. I've seen some productions, and even a listener actually asked me about what did I know about Lilith. That's something on the mythological level. Eve was the only woman that Adam knew. And Adam became a living soul when God formed him out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And thus Adam became a living soul. And with the living soul, God said it was not good for man to be alone. And then he took Eve out of his rib and created him a mate, a helpmeet, a helpmate. From his rib is close to his heart. And there is no Lilith in the picture. And so, and the Lord God, let's go very quickly so we can get to the fourth chapter. And God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. Who is God talking to? Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus, when they were talking about all the law of Moses, Moses, you must be Moses. He said, I was before Moses was. He was talking to his son and the heavenly host. He says, now he is what? Just as we are, as one of us to know good and evil. And now let he be put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. That means now man has a moral obligation. He lost his innocence. He went from amazing grace to literal disgrace because of disobedience. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden. That means God expelled him from the garden. Man no longer would have it easy. He would no longer have it made in the shade. to the ground from whence he was taken. He drew man out, and he placed him east of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every which way to keep the way of the tree of life. So man lost ground on his innocence, on his preemptive abundance. He will now be charged to work for his living. And the woman, and you can go back into the third chapter of the book of Genesis and read for yourself, that she would bear children with sorrow and travail. That is where we get childbirth from. That's right. We get the essence of conception, gestation. And we see the struggles that many of us as women have had or are having presently. We can thank our mother, Eve, for all these wonderful things. But we need to get to the fourth chapter, and we need to establish some areas here that we see are impacted right in today's society. And Adam knew Eve. That means he was intimate with her, his wife. He didn't say his girlfriend or his chick. His wife is helpmeet. And she conceived and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Second verse. And again she bare his brother Abel, for first Cain was born. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. What is the scripture saying? Well, see, Abel was a shepherdsman. A shepherdsman guards over the sheep and maintains the integrity of their well-being. And Cain was a farmer. He was an agrarian man. He was a farmer. And in the process of time, that means in the season, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That means he brought sacrifice unto the Lord of his vegetation, of his produce. But the fourth verse says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. What's the scripture saying? Well, see, Abel respected God so to the point he gave him the finest that he had to offer as a way of respect unto God. See, under the law of God, that times of grace, under the dispensation of grace and truth, you are required to bring an offering unto God. And see, many of the congregant leaders misconstrue this perspective and say you have to bring money here. No. He didn't ask them for money. He asked them for an offering. And see, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, even in the Old Testament. Blood sacrifice was required for certain elements of disenfranchisement, for appeasement, or for reconciliation. So he gave God the finest he had to offer. And God blessed him for his humility, for his willingness to sacrifice unto God. And what happened in the fifth verse? But Cain, and to his offering, he had no respect, because Cain gave what he thought he wanted to give, and it wasn't his finest, it wasn't his best. He just gave something to ease his consciousness. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What is the scripture saying? Cain was angry. You see how his brother was blessed and respected by God and how he prospered. See, when you respect God, when you worship God and you honor God, God will make sure you'll never be last. You'll always be first in the line of being blessed and prospering. So Cain was angry. So in the sixth verse, what happened? And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? That means, why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why do you have this scourged look on your face of disappointment? Seventh verse, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? That means if you do what's right, will I not bless you? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door. That means if you refuse to accept the truth, then you're going to fall victim to the flesh. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That means that wickedness will overtake you, and you will become enslaved, and you will reap what you sow, multiplied. And Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against him. against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So that means that Abel was trying to talk to Cain and to help him to alleviate his anger, his frustration, and it appeased over to jealousy. And as a result, because he didn't have what he had, and he wasn't blessed the way he was blessed, he decided, well, I'm going to fix you, and he slew his own brother. He murdered his brother. This is the first incident, first crime committed of murder in the scripture, when Cain slew Abel. We don't know how he slew him, whether he hit him with a rock, whether he hit him with his hand, or used an object. We don't know, but we know that he slew him. And here it is, the ninth verse. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? God already knew. He just wanted to see, was Cain going to be honest about what he had done? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He's saying, am I responsible for him? And he's a whole man, a whole grown man. Am I supposed to keep up with him and manage over him? Well, here's what the Lord's going to say. And he said, this is God speaking, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. He says, why did you do this? Your brother's consciousness is crying out to me, echoing out to me, that you slew him. Uh-oh, look out. And now art thou cursed from the earth. See, God's the only one who can curse you. Quit playing. Don't touch his people. It's just that simple. He says, you're cursed. When you have, which the earth have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. That means that his blood is underneath the ground in which you bury him. To cover him up, well, the earth is alive with his blood. His consciousness remains. When thou tillest the ground, it's God speaking out, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. That means you will never, ever have a bountiful crop. And what else did he say? A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. That means you're going to be a wanderer. You're going to be a wanderer. You ever heard people talking about people raised in Cain? Well, you know what? So Cain got deduced to nothing because of what he did to his brother and his disrespect for what God had produced in his brother to be a full focal blessing. And Abel could have been a blessing to him, but he refused. And through his hard-heartedness, his willingness to sacrifice his own brother, he's cursed now because God said it. And guess what? When God puts a curse on you, can't nobody on the earth or above or beneath do anything about it. It's in his hands. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He means that this overwhelms me. This has torn me apart. He lived as a convicted man. And at that day and time, when people were convicted of various crimes, if they didn't slay the person, they treated them as an outcast. They were shunned from society. Period. No one would even come to their rescue. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that what findeth me shall slay me. What is Cain now saying? He says, now, God, that you turn away from me, you turn your back on me, I'm done. I'm finished. My fate is sealed. My lifespan has been diminished. My purpose eradicated. Now, no one will come near me. And anyone who hears and knows what I have done will want to kill me. But what did God say in his infinite mercy? And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find of him should kill him. So what did God do? He says, no, I'm going to release you to be a vagabond. You're going to serve your life sentence on this earth and be reminded of the evil that you did. But I'm not going to let anyone kill you, Because if they do, I will curse them seven times more. Now here you go again talking about, oh, you know, God don't curse them. Yes, he does. For the disobedience, hard-heartedness, and vindictiveness toward the children, yes, he will. He says, well, I'm not going to let anyone to kill you. I'm going to let you go. But you live with this. And let this be a reminder. Teach others through your experience. It's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living and angry God. And Cain went and dwelt in, out from the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. See, Nod is considered a place of void, of emptiness, of desolation. This was his penalty for what he had done. And the 17th verse, and Cain knew his wife. He found a woman. He was a wonder, but he found a woman. And she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So he had a child with a wife. And he had a son called Enoch. And he built the city and named it after his son. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begot Mehuelel. And Mehuelel begot Methuselah. And Methuselah begot Lamech. These are the generations that are now coming forth from Cain. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwelled in tents and of such as have cattle. He was a nomad. He was constantly moving around. He was a nomad. And his brother's name was Jabal. He was the father of all as handled the harp and organ. He was a musician. So you have a nomad and you have a musician. And Zillah, he also bare Tabakane, an instructor of every artificer in brass and in iron. And the sister of Tabakal was Namah. So he was a blacksmith. It's Tabakane. He was a blacksmith. And he was a mastery as being a blacksmith. And then he had a sister, Namah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. So what happened? Lamech had killed someone. He brought his wife together and was letting them know what he had done, an unrightful deed. And he knew that deed would eventually catch up with him. And so as a way of clearing his consciousness, he informed them of what he had done. 24th verse says, if Cain shall be avenged 70-fold, truly the next 70 and sevenfold. Wow. So he's saying, if Cain, if his wrath receives punishment, what, sevenfold? He's going to receive much more than that because he knew that he was not supposed to have killed that young man. For whatever reason he did, we don't know. So we're not going to do imperative guessing or make a hypothesis or make an educated guess, but he did the deed and he confessed it. And he knew that the wrath of God was going to consume him or overtake him. And the 25th verse says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God, and said she, have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. So he, Seth came as a blessing to her because Cain slew her beloved son Abel, and he was coming as a replacement for Abel. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So Seth had Enos, and Enos was a man likened unto the characteristics of God, of humility. And I believe that Seth saw some elements. It's what his mother told him about Abel in his son. Listen, it has been a glorious and victorious pathway of journey through this pilgrim's journey today. And we thank God for those of you who tuned in. But next week, come back and bring a friend, a family member, a neighbor, or coworker, because we're going into the Word of God on this pilgrim's journey as we travel up the King's Highway. Listen, I thank God for those of you who have tuned in. Be blessed, be prosperous in every good thing. Have a glorious and victorious week filled with joy, filled with the presence of God, and let the miracles go and let the miracles flow. You tune in with your host, your teacher, the Esquire of the Eighth, self known as the Motisini Maharani, saying in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank Father God for this opportunity. And we thank Jesus Christ for the authority. And we thank the Holy Spirit for being the masterful teacher that teaches me and instructs me on how to instruct you. Be blessed, and we'll see you again on next week, The Pilgrim's Journey.